It's time for the Pestrogen Podcast with your hosts, Jenny and Candace.
Welcome back, my pretty pesties everywhere. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Pestrogen Podcast. My name is Jenny, and I am here with my lovely co-host, Candace, and we're dying right now in season. How are you?
It is definitely season. Oh my god.
Help.
Oh, yes.
Send help. I know.
Yes. I'm like I said, I'm very happy we delayed this by an hour because I literally made it home with 9 minutes to spare from what we normally record at. I was like running in the house, throwing all my stuff off, looking at my head going, oh god. I was like dripping sweat. My hair is like slicked back but standing up. It was the weirdest shit. I don't know.
Yep.
But it was definitely a day. And it wasn't like I didn't even have that many stops, but it was just long and hot. God damn, it was hot. And I know I don't have that Midwest humidity going on, but it was hot for here, okay?
Yeah. That's like every time I got out of my truck. And it's the corn sweat is so bad that my glasses would fog up, like my whole everything got wet, and oh, I hated it. It was rough. And then I'm pretty sure I had early signs of heat stroke at one point. Oh, God. But you just keep pushing.
Yeah, take care of yourself, goddammit. It's like I told Brandon, like every time I was like squatting to, you know, check a station or snap trap tunnel, like, my pants were stuck to my legs. And I don't wear tight pants. I wear very loose-fitting pants, so I don't have that issue. But good God, today I'm, like, having to, like, rip them, like, pull them up. So I felt like some old dude that has to, like, readjust his pants every time he squats. I'm like, ew. I'm happy, like, nobody was around every time I had to do this. Like, all my sights were empty today, for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, this is so freaking annoying.
That's why I like suspenders, yo.
That's the thing is my pants weren't slipping down. Oh. They were sitting where they were supposed to, but it's like the squat down, like tightened them too tight around my thighs. So I had to like pull them up to give extra slack in the thigh. I don't know. It was weird.
What would Tales from Crawl Space call that? Swamp ass or.
Yeah. Well, my yeah. ass wasn't sweaty. It was just my thighs.
Oh, well, I sure had a swamp ass. Oh, real quick, before we introduce our guests, I do have a really quick have the day you deserve.
Okay.
So, I went out for this bald-faced hornet nest, which I made a TikTok on, and I talked all about it and stuff. Well, the reason I made the TikTok was because I was waiting for the client to come to the door or answer their phone or something. Well, nothing. I sat there for a good 20 minutes. Nothing. I left. I called, left voicemails, everything. They had a Ring camera. I talked into the Ring camera like, hello, somebody. Well, a couple hours later, he calls me back and he's like, hey, sorry. And I was like, oh, it's okay. I was like, after my route, I can come back to you. Do you still want that taken care of? Because it was a bald-faced hornet nest, like right at the garage. If you saw the TikTok, it's so close that every time the garage door comes up and down, I'm sure it stirs them.
Well, oh, yeah.
He's like, yeah, I would really appreciate that. Thank you. You know, and I was like, will you be home the rest of the day? He's like, yeah. And I told him between 3 and 6, I ended up showing up at like 5:15. Well, 20 minutes before, I text him and say, I'm on my way. I'm about 20 minutes out. He said, okay. I get there and he stands me up again. I'm what ringing the door, calling, texting, and I really think he just thought I would just, like, take it out, and then he would just stiff me on the bill.
No.
No.
Absolutely not.
You can have your hornet, sir.
Yep.
Rude. Have the day you deserve, jerk.
Yeah. I had something relatively close to that. I had a lady call because she had a bald-faced hornet's hive. She said it's about a foot off the ground inside of some bushes, and she has kids and dogs. So I get a hold of Brandon. I'm like, hey, this is what it is. I know we usually try to take them at night. Do you want to go now? He's like, hell yeah, we need to go now. Mm-hmm. So I told her I would call her back and let her know. So I call her back and told her, you know, give us about 30 minutes to gather up our gear and get out to you. And she's like, I think we're just going to deal with it because your price is too high. I'm like, you know what? This is literally a life and death situation for my husband. It's not going to be cheap.
Right.
Well, we're just going to spray it ourselves. You know what? Have at
have,
it.
Have fun.
Have the day you deserve after that one.
Yeah.
Rude. Because then things are not nice. Like, you don't even have to mess with them and they will come beat your ass.
Yeah. And when I came back the second time for that one, they were way more aggressive. Like, I parked in the same spot I did earlier in the day and they were like getting angry that I was just existing in their space. And I'm like, well, you know what? Screw you, dude.
They're not nice at all. In any sense. Absolutely not.
Yes. Well, I think we should introduce our guest.
Probably. He's been sitting around for about 5.5 minutes now.
He's just like, these chicks talking about bald-faced hornets. Hello, Jameson. How are you?
I'm doing well. Happy to be here. And honestly, I gotta say, when I hear something like bald-faced hornet, the name itself brings up a lot of questions in my mind, especially like, what does that even mean? Like, who named that? So,
I don't know.
But yeah, I'm happy to be here. It's super fun.
From the last CEU conference I was at, the lady, I think she was an entomologist, I believe. I was kind of in and out. It gets boring. She said that they usually name it the easiest thing they can possibly think of. And if you think about it, if you actually look at a bald-faced hornet, they do look bald. Their face looks bald. So,
I guess that's
where the name comes from.
As opposed to, like, being a hairy face?
Yeah, most of them are kind of...
kind of fuzzy.
Yeah, they're kind of fuzzy, whatever. But no, it's because they're black and white. So, like, white kind of makes them look bald. Like, you know, somebody just took a bick to their head, I guess.
Like an alien bee.
They kind of do.
They do, yeah.
And they're freaking mean.
Yeah, they are. They sting multiple times and it sucks. But yes, Jameson, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you?
All right. Well, first of all, I say where I am. I'm based in Atlanta, and I'm originally from Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay.
And I'm a college student, and I go to Georgia Tech. I'm a master's student studying electrical engineering. And it's a really funny story how I actually got to where I am right now. As of right now, I'll keep it brief. If we go into it later, that's fine. But basically, I'm doing a program through Georgia Tech for startups. And I happened upon pest control last fall, and I stuck with it with a friend of mine this summer. And I've just been meeting different people in the industry, going out with my friend and learning about it, actually doing treatments and starting a company called Pest Tech. And we're trying to make tools to better the industry, stuff that doesn't exist, to either make things more convenient or to, you know, reduce medical problems. Like one of the tools we're doing is so you don't have to bend over to do termite station, stuff like that.
Perfect.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, because me and my husband have had the conversation probably 1,000 times that tools aren't made for the pest industry. We adapt normal tools to us or have to jimmy them around a little bit so they work. That's awesome to actually have stuff that would be made for us. That's amazing. And that's I love it that you actually go out into the field. You're not just getting secondhand knowledge. You're actually out there seeing, you know, like what we have to go through in order to make the job work. Because sometimes we have to jimmy rig some crazy stuff together. It's insane what I've had to do. And I've only been doing this for a couple of years. My husband's at like 10, and I can't even imagine. Well, I know some of the stuff that he's had to jimmy rig together because I've seen it later and going, what the hell is this? And then he explains how it works. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, if it works for you, it works for you.
Right.
Yeah, that's the funny part because, you know, we've been doing this for the summer, so we've heard some stories. We talked to different technicians and owner operators and stuff, and one of the guys that we talked to, he used to be a mechanic, and he did that for a while, so he knows cars front and back. And, you know, all the mechanics would be complaining about the engineers who are probably sitting in an office somewhere, and they make this great design, and but they've never like used a tool before. And so the mechanics have to go in and try to figure out, okay, how do I actually deal with this? Because this doesn't make any sense in real life. So we kind of wanted to avoid that. And also it's a lot more fun to go out. I mean, I know like I've absolutely seen the job is tough and a lot of respect for that. I've had to do a little bit of that, you know, outside work, but nowhere near what I've seen. And so a lot of respect for that. But it's cool to get out of my bubble as, you know, an engineer, I mean, electrical, right? Like stuff like that. And to see what other people do and to learn to appreciate it. And I've heard so many stories, not only about pest control, but just about people's lives through this experience of meeting people. And it's been very enriching and I'm very grateful for it.
That's awesome. And I do appreciate that you go out into the field. I've seen some of those like mechanic videos where it's like to get the oil to drain out, you have like this much room to get the plug out. And mechanics are like, what the hell? Who thought of this? So I know exactly what you're talking about when you brought up the mechanics hating engineers. And yeah, I would. Yeah. Sometimes even with like my B&G or my flow zone sprayer, like some of the grooves that are in my flow zone get like nasty gunk in it. And I'm going, who put this here? Why is it even there? You know how hard it is to clean up and under and around? What the hell?
Exactly. Yes.
It's so, not practical.
Right. And with this topic, we're going to further explore Jameson's endeavors and stuff, but we kind of reached out to the pest control community and asked all of their favorite tools, what's important to them in a tool, and so forth. So we got a lot of entries from them. Mm-hmm. But Candace, when you were talking about how us pest controllers will just rig anything up to make it work for us, one of my friends, well, I say friends, but I met him through Facebook, but
hey, that's how I met you originally.
Right. Exactly. His name's Kyle. I won't say his last name because I didn't ask before I did this, but he does a landscaping, but he does like native plants and water features and all kinds of cool stuff. But he did a video on Facebook where he locked himself out of his truck by accident. So he just grabbed stuff from in the back of his truck and got his keys out with, he used one of the bucket handles. He took the handle off the bucket, put it in the door and stuff. That resonated so much with what we end up having to do.
I've actually taken bucket handles and straightened them out some, but left one of the hooks to reach like back behind like washers and dryers and stoves to grab up my snap traps, because I use the Jaws traps. So mm-hmm. when they're still set and whatever, they mm-hmm. have that opening and then I can just snatch it right up. Even when they're not set, you know, it has capture in it. Doesn't matter if it's a mouse or a rat. You can grab it from the other end. It freaking works. Now I'm not having to move everything. I can just yoink. And then
exactly.
I can even put them back, like reset them and then just hook them through that opening of them being set and then just slowly lower them back down. Don't have to worry about it.
Exactly.
Now I just need something like that for sticky traps. There you go, Jameson. Something for sticky traps. That's not going to stick to it.
Another to add to the to-do list.
Right? Too funny. Which one of my suggestions to Jameson, which seems to be a flop so far, is the Big O key, that the bait station key. I had, when I worked for the Big O, I had so many people asking for that key. Well, in that post, people are like, we just kick it open. Okay, for one, I wouldn't put bait in something I can just kick open. It's supposed to be tamper-proof, okay?
Yeah.
So, personally, I just wouldn't use that station then if you're just going to kick it open. I don't know.
Yeah.
it's not a flop, yeah. By the way. Like, really, I love the idea. No, not at all. The problem, you see, despite being in Atlanta, is that we can't find the materials. So once we do that, we can make some progress on that. But part of it is I need to source stuff so that I can make sure that everything that we make is quality and works rather than guessing. So that's in progress.
That makes sense.
That's good. Because like the first like four key thing that was made, I can't even remember who made it. They just made it out of like really crappy plastic, which most of our keys are plastic. But right. The one metal one for the RTUs with the two little prongs on it, those are metal for a freaking reason. because you really got a wrench on those. So people were buying those plastic ones and using it for that RTU and one use, and they're snapping them off. Now, I have a plastic one, but it's like it's 3D printed, and it's, I don't remember exactly what it's made of. It's plastic and polymer or plastic and resin, or I can't remember. But I've used it. I don't have a whole lot of RTUs, but the times that I have had to use it, it's held up. There's no bends in it. There's no nothing. It is a very durable plastic. And of course, I didn't bring it in with me today. But like, if whatever you use, like you said, you want to make it quality, love it. Make sure that shit's not going to break, because there ain't nothing more annoying than your key breaking on you. Even if you have 500 spares, they're not on you. And if you are in a huge warehouse like Jenny used to have to do, and you're at the back side of it, you have to walk all the way back to go get a new key and walk all the way back to start over again.
That would kill me.
no breaking.
But I have put Jameson's product from Pestex, his bait keys tool. This week, I have put it to the test. It was 105 degrees today, and I set it on the pavement, walked away, came back to it, gave it a good, yes.
Oh my
Which
gosh.
I didn't. I wish I would have gotten a video of it, but I was dying in the midst of dying. So I did one TikTok today, and it was in the early morning, and then I just had to hoof it from there because I was dying, but. Yeah, I put it to the test this week, and it's good. So.
Well, at least you know the plastic's not melting at 105.
Well, more, but it gets better because as of right now, we're talking about, okay, say somehow, because only some of the keys require twisting. Like the Evo Express, you just kind of shove it in there, so that really doesn't undergo a lot of stress at all. But for the keys that do twist, we were thinking, okay, we've made it pretty strong, like we've done high infill for the inside of the plastics and stuff and made sure to orient the parts so that they have a lot of strength. But if they do break, what would we do? And we've been actually looking into upgraded filaments to include, I think, carbon fiber. And so if, you know, because one of the things they teach us about startups is that there's some, you know, designers, entrepreneurs, engineers who just fiddle and fiddle and fiddle with their creation all the time, and they're never willing to actually get it out there. And so what we've done is we've done a very good job, and we've tested it, and it's not like steel or whatever, but we've made sure that it's very strong plastic, but there's always room for improvement. And so that's why we're excited to start getting it out there. And we've had a bunch of orders already and shipping it out, and we want to hear feedback, because that's the name of the game, and we're going to do our best, but it's really out in the field where the real test happens, which is why I love that's what you did, Jenny. That's so funny. And there's only improvements from there, and we're going to kind of work with everybody to make sure that they get some quality.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And there's no better testing of your product than out in the field, because we're a bunch of jackasses. We're going to drop shit. We're going to throw shit. We're going to step on shit. I've ran stuff over with my damn car. So
yes.
My own keys. I dropped out of my pocket, didn't realize it. And then as I was backing away and I turned, I just happened to look over and there was my key. And I'm going, what the hell? It was still fine. Thank God.
Yep.
We're hard on stuff, because especially at big box, when you have to go from stop to stop to stop to stop, and you're just throwing your shit around. Get in there. Go, go, go. You're not, you know, place it here, be nice there. It's just go, 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 go. So you always have to keep that in mind, that we are hard on stuff and we will break shit and not even mean to. Yes. And it's just out of, a lot of the times, it's just out of normal use too, because we're just, especially even just like regular Evo keys, I've had numerous snap on me. And like you said, it's just a push, but you push and turn just a little bit, like you move your wrist some. I've had them snap off in the station. I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
It happens if you're just moving too quick, you know, without the typical normal use, it might break, especially if it's, you know, got that one little crack in the plastic or something. Yes. Shit happens sometimes.
What I also like about it, though, is that it's customizable. And I think that's big in the pest industry, like the Nibian shakers. Like, you know, we like sporting our brands. And so when I got to show off one that said Pestrogen on it, I was just like, oh, look, everybody, you know. So we're big into that. So I think that was a very good.
I don't know how many people watch versus listen, but I did bring a couple. So, you know, we got the different colors.
And, ooh, yes.
That kind of stuff. You got the red here like that. Stainless steel.
Oh, that's nice.
All that stuff pops out. So that's kind of fun, you know, customizing.
Yeah, it is. I love that about it.
Yeah, it's super cute that they like all go back in because then you don't have anything sticking out poking you.
Yep.
Yeah. I have that with mine sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah. So. It was fun to design.
Yeah. And it's a fidget toy at the same time.
Oh my gosh, yes. They were originally squeaking at one point, and I realized, you know, I can't decide whether the squeaking is a bug or a feature, but I decided, just oil it. Maybe people don't like squeaking. So it doesn't squeak anymore, but maybe people don't want me to oil it. We can have it squeak.
Okay.
You can have a squeak-free or a squeaky version. Pick one.
That's great. Oh, my gosh. My boss ended up seeing mine and being like, whoa, that's cool. Like, I want some with our logo on it, you know? So I love that about the pest community, that we all like to, like, sport our logos and stuff. It's fun. I'm sure other industries are like that, too, but. Yeah, good
stuff. We like to represent.
Yeah.
And then we like to dog on other ones that are like, seriously, why'd you do that? What is this? Why did you do that? Why is this here? Why is that there?
Right.
Seeing a fly light that's like this far off the ground. What the fuck?
Yep.
Or the ones that are like 10 feet in the air and you're going, who's that tall? Who was doing that?
It was me with a ladder.
Okay. You just carrying around your little ladder with you?
Yep. Just a troll. Just a troll. You
know. So we got one from Jen McIntosh. Love you, Jen. You're the best.
Yes.
She said, this is so simple and not technologically mind-blowing at all, but I use a 6-inch paint roller at the end of a Webster pole to hook hornets' nests and pull them down. Works fantastically. I was on a job one day and couldn't get a nest out of a tree. The property caretaker came over with one to see if it'd work. I kept at least one on me ever since.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, just like just a paint roller. As I said, it's not made for us, but it works.
It works, yeah. Exactly.
That probably could have helped me today with my paper wasp hive.
Yeah, I'm about to grab one of those. That'd be nice, yep.
Knocked down the hive, didn't kill any of them at one of my head starts that I can't use any chems. So I was like, oh, yay. Yes. Luckily, there's no kids there for until, like, actually, that site won't even be used by kids anymore, so.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, okay.
Speaking of not technologically mind-blowing or whatever, so our big brother and podcast, Sean Moeller of Pest Perspectives in the UK, so a couple weeks ago he posted on LinkedIn that he got these flashcards of like pests, and it's like reference cards or whatever, and that he got both of his kids a set to kind of, you know, work with or whatever. But, well, somebody ended up commenting on it and was like, you know, with how technologically advanced we are, you know, that's pretty primitive, you know. So I was talking to Sean today about it, and we were kind of talking about how in the pest industry, tools don't have to be super crazy technologically sound. And what Sean was saying was that he feels like a lot of those pest identification apps and stuff end up being wrong anyway. And then what I was saying is that maybe we rely on technology a little too much and should be able to, you know, pick it from a picture, you know. Yeah. So that was something I wanted to bring up just because it kind of fits with the theme here.
It's the truth though. Like I know a lot of people use those Bluetooth snap traps and stuff to tell you if something's been in it, so you don't have to go look. I'm sorry, I would still look anyways. But years ago when they like first came out, Brandon had some to use around here. Now, I live on the Oregon coast. There is never a day where it is not at least a 15 mile an hour wind at some point in the day. shit gets blown into those. So when his phone is blowing up that like every station that he has a rodent in it.
Right.
It's not right. It doesn't work that way around here. And it might be great for other places that don't have wind or have a lot of wind or whatever. But around here, no.
Right.
Because, I mean, I can put a bait station out for a 30-day one-shot, go back in a week to check. In a week's time, that thing will be full of grass clippings and leaves and dirt. And I mean, everything gets blown into that. Knowing that there could be a Bluetooth indicator in there telling me that there's like 5,000 rodents running around in it, I would be pissed to go there and have nothing.
Exactly.
So technology isn't always our best friend in this case. Sometimes it just takes a brain and a knife.
Or even just paper and a book. Or, yeah, because like even Russell Gosweller, he says he likes to have like a little field guide with him.
Yep.
You know, just a reference. And
yeah,
that's fine too. Whatever tool works for you. I mean,
yeah,
we're not all the same. So.
Exactly.
But yeah,
as an engineer, I'll try to take all these things to heart. I don't know how well I'll do at it though.
Right.
No, but see, like your key is perfect though. There's not like buttons that you have to press or, you know, some secret code you have to put in to get everything to come out and work. It's simple. It's, you know, not primitive, yeah, but it's not crazy technology. It's simple. That we're not relying on anything else but our own freaking fingers to open the damn thing.
And, you know,
it's nothing crazy.
And I'm about technologically advancing and using technical tools and stuff, but like I ain't gonna like knock somebody for, you know, you know what I mean? Like be like, man, we're way past that now, you know. But to each their own. And I think it's cute he got them for his kids too, because.
That is adorable.
That is adorable. So, Kevin Wiener from All Bugs Go to Kevin, my homie, he actually gave us entry. For those of you who don't know, he was in the pest industry for a long time, but now he works in conservation. And you should go support him and go join the All Bugs Go to Kevin Facebook group because he's amazing. But anyway. He said, my favorite and most used item was a tactical drop leg bag. Woo! I use one of those too. It had small loops on the side, perfect size to hold bait tubes, plus pockets for more. I could carry around 18 tubes and still have a pouch in the middle to discard the empties. In most cases, I wasn't doing large roach jobs where I had to carry so much. So I usually had vials for collecting specimens, a loop, pins, sharpies, collection tools like forceps, pooter, etc. I would use a pouch with a drawstring for rodent bait, carry a variety of tube style bait options, and still have room for screwdriver pliers. I got so used to making simple tools work that I honestly didn't enjoy using many of the specialty tools that were thrown my way to test. I felt they didn't always make my job easier. So aside from my drop leg bag, my brain was always my best tool. I had customers that needed problem solved with little to no pesticide usage in tough environments. So learning to problem solve and come up with solutions where there weren't tools available to solve it was second nature. So that is pretty cool. Especially the like use of bait tubes and stuff. I think Jameson's other tool, which, what do you call that? Is it just a bait holster?
It's the bait tube belt holster. It's an alternative to a very handy bag like we just heard.
Yes. Which, actually, in my own experience of also using the same kind of handy bag, I think your thing would work with it very well. Because, like Kevin said, you have to put the empties somewhere and things like that. So... it would be nice to just have some on the holster ready to go. And then once they're empty. Too. Yeah, exactly.
For those of you who watch. Yep. So it's it's a flexible filament and you just kind of pop them in like that. And there's little clips on the back and you just kind of wrap them around your belt. It's kind of fun and a place to put the little tubes here, and just like in the what he just said, the screwdriver, and you know, so it's a little lightweight, but it can be fun in certain cases.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice. Yeah, I really haven't had a chance to use that yet. I need to use it this morning. I was going to use it and make a video, but the restaurant I was going to was late, and it made my whole day run late.
Of course, they were.
Exactly. But I think that tool would, I wear the same kind of drop leg bag. I think it would work in conjunction with it very well. So that I can just pop it, especially like the little tips things. And yeah, so I'm going to give it a try out, and I'll show everybody. I'll dance around a storage unit or something.
Like, these don't come off. Look at that. Yeah. I just wear a sling bag for everything. I have a rodent sling bag. I have my indoor sling bag. So everything just gets thrown in pockets. I usually know where all of it is unless one of my kids has been helping me. And then Jude will put random shit in different pockets. And I'm like, where the hell did it go?
Yeah.
But yeah, all my stuff just usually just goes in a bag because that's just what I'm accustomed to.
Yep.
A lot of people don't like wearing a sling bag because, well, it makes you bulkier, obviously. Or, you know, you get hot wearing it, whatever. It's handy for me. I enjoy it because I have one that's actually made for concealed carry. Like, it came with a whole, yeah, it's actually really nice. But it has where it goes across me from left to right. Yeah, and you can't change it. I have other ones that you can change. But I also have a loop that comes around it. From the bag around my left side and clips into the cross chest. So then it's secure on me for like when I'm in a crawl space, it doesn't slide around or come forward and smack me in the head. Mm-hmm. So it is handy that way. I don't always use the second strap because I need to spin it in front of me sometimes, like grab out my contract or whatever I need to grab. So, but yeah, like drop leg bags would be really cool. I think I would get annoyed with them just because I'm not used to it. I used to get annoyed with my sling bag too. Like when I first started working, I'm like, how do you carry this all the time? This is so freaking annoying. Brandon's like, you'll get used to it. Well, sure, shit, I got used to it.
And that's another thing about what Kevin said is that he didn't really like to utilize new tools. But I think that's a part of it too, is that if you're not used to it, you kind of got it. Accustom yourself. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it just depends on your needs.
There's a lot of interesting points that are all brought up in this. Like trying to be an entrepreneur, somebody who is making stuff for people to use, it's an interesting puzzle because you have to figure out what the need is. But then everybody's also has their own personality and they have their own patterns and they're all different. They have their own temperaments and they have their own opinions and what useful is not. And you kind of have to be a pattern finder in a way, because you have to take people's input seriously, but you can't take it too seriously because you got to go ask other people and see what they think. And even if 40% of people say, oh, that's not good, or even 50%, there's still another 60 or 50% of people who might like it. And, you know, and they have their own habits and way that they do pest control or whatever they're doing. And so it's like you have to learn how to take feedback for what it is and to value it, but to not lose sight of the bigger picture. And that's definitely something that I've been trying to learn more how to do.
Yeah.
We get very stubborn and stuck in our ways. We really do. And I'm sure lots of trades do too. I just haven't been in any of the other trades. But I know just from me personally, my husband, and then, you know, Jenny and, you know, Brad and all of them that I've actually met and talked to and have a personal relationship with, we are all very stuck in our ways. And a lot of them are super different, but it all gets the job done.
Yep.
Okay. So, I mean, that's the goal.
I got a question for you guys then. So
yes.
Are there any patterns that you see in people, let's just say within pest control, who are more open to trying new things versus people who are more kind of rather just do what they've always done because it works well enough?
I think the younger, not necessarily age younger, but in the profession younger, are more willing to try new things. The ones that have been in the profession for, you know, 10, 15, 20 plus years are very stuck with what they want, what they're used to, what they know that works. I don't want anything different. I already know this works. Why would I change it? It's that don't fix what's broken. As like, I'll try new things. I've gotten different chems and different Webster heads and stuff like that. As Brandon's like, no, we don't need anything different. I'm like, I want to try it. So I'm going to buy it. So here we are. And I've found us better Webster heads just by simply saying, hey, I'm going to try these because I want to have an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that they were going to be better, but just giving it a shot. They were like super cheap. That doesn't even matter. But they're super freaking handy. But our old ones still are as well. They're different Webster heads for different situations. But see, that's like perfect case right there. Brandon, who has been in this for almost 10 years. Yeah, next year will be 10 years. He was like, I know these work. Why would we change it? Because why not?
Yeah.
Let's just give it a try. And so I bought two, one for each of us. Didn't go crazy with it. Mm-hmm. And it was right around the time he got sick, but that's a whole other story. So I got to use it first. And I'm like, dude, this thing is freaking amazing. Like, it takes down everything. It just grabs on because our web threads are real soft bristled. Like, you put it mm-hmm. against a building and they kind of collapse. These ones that I get, I mean, they're like stiff, like to like push it to a building to get it to rub, but they work, but they don't work in every situation. You have a house with peeling paint, you're going to chip all that paint off and be like, whoops. But yeah, I think younger people that haven't been in it as long are more open to trying different things because they're not stuck in that this works, don't fix what's broken. Situation.
I think it also comes down to a matter of willingness to take risk, right? Because mm-hmm. if you try something new and it doesn't work, is that a waste of time? I mean, if you think about like other inventors, or like Edison, for example, right? He invented 999 ways to not make a light bulb work, but then he found the one, right? And it's not the same thing. It's like trying a new tool or whatever, but there's still an element of risk. And I guess for me, I need to think about it more. It's like, okay, if you're doing your job and you have a bunch of stops to do and you really don't have a lot of free time to kind of play around, then mm-hmm. you don't have a lot of ability, I guess, to take that risk. And you know, it's harder to assess like, okay, is it worth it? Mm-hmm. So do you think that there's like more to it than simply time in the industry when it comes to, you know, assessment of risk and whether trying something new mm-hmm. is worth it?
Yeah, I think that definitely plays with it. Because, like, for my previous employer, I didn't have that time to do that. But now, with my current employer, I have that. I mean, like, today I had a rough day. That's going to happen. It's season, whatever. But for the most part, I have the time where I can try the new tools or, you know, make a silly video out of it, you know. So... yeah, and some feedback for you, by the way, is that you were really, when I spoke with you on the phone and gave you some feedback, you're really easy to talk to. And when I got off the phone with them, Candace, I was like, man, I feel like I was really negative because I was talking about how, like, and I did bring up the folks that have been in the industry so long and things like that, where we do have a very unique culture in the pest control industry. And sometimes that can really limit whether people are going to try something new or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, people swear by only using a B&G for interior and exterior, or they stick with using the pump backpack for exterior because that's what they're used to. They don't want the battery powered.
Yeah.
You know, simple thing is changing the Webster head, or like even my four-way key. That is like the thing that I use. I love that thing to death. Brandon uses it as his backup. He uses his individual keys that's on a key ring because that's what he's used to. Like, that's his set of keys. His four-way is in his backpack as a backup. Mine's the other way around. I have my key ring of individual keys hanging off my backpack as a backup.
Yes.
And that's another thing. It's like, there seems to be plenty of tools out there, but what I've found is that, you know, one person that I'll talk to at one company has some amazing solution. And then all the other people that I talked to have never heard of it before. And I thought that was the point of the conferences for continuing training, but it seems like there are plenty of things out there that exist that could be great if people knew about it, but just there's a lot of, I mean, I was, you know, when we were doing research in the industry, there's like so many small independent operators, because I think somebody told me that pest control, like to start a pest control company, it's one of the lowest like initial entry costs, right? So a lot of people can do it, you know, if they have the expertise and all that stuff, but there's a lot of like it's very fractured. And so that's like, how is it that more of these helpful tools that already exist aren't being shared at the training conferences?
The training conferences aren't
for tools. Yeah. No. They're to make
it's
sure
for a
you
bunch
don't
of hoity-toities to stand up there and go, meh, 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 well, meh, meh, yeah. meh, meh, for an hour at a time.
It's also so that we don't, like, kill people's children and dogs. And, you know, it's more about making sure we're sound applicators. And when, like, I just got, because I'm in a different state now, I had to get a new training book and I have to go take another test. But the first thing they go through is like equipment, and it's very basic. So it's just like you have a sprayer. Let's talk about drift and things. So those conferences and stuff are more so about safety and pest management in that way. But I have been to a conference before where it is more about money. And it's like, it's a money grab for, and I felt so bad for sponsors and things, because it was more about people selling their products and things like that. So that was fun to go and talk to. There was like a booth about fly lights and the different pest company, like distributors
like,
were there.
Yeah, like Nisus
of them were there. So I have been to one of those, but I had to pay a lot of money and go across the country to go to it. So that's not like a part of our continuing education type thing. That's more of a privilege type situation. So
now, see, our CEU conferences, we have distributors there in their mm-hmm. own room, and we get to go and talk to them. They tell us about their, you know, new whatever iside they have made, whether it's pesticide, herbicide, rodenticide, their new little products. We're actually friends with a few of our distributors, so they always give us cool shit, and they always have cool shit. It's like awesome. The swag bags. It's so fun to grab random shit that they get.
Yes.
Like, I have this little teeny tiny tape measure now because of them. I actually got a power bank for my phone from, I think it was Forshaw, who's my That's distributor. Awesome. Yeah, I was like, hell yeah.
Right? Heck yeah.
I mean, we've gotten, so like, just random, like, stress balls. And, I mean, it's not normally, like, no oh, yeah.
Right.
They knew.
It's not,
they
a
knew.
Lot of it's not, like, pest-related things. It's just, like, knick-knacky shit with their logo on it, which, okay, fine. It's still fun.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's like, there was this one, I can't remember who it came from, but it was a little teeny tiny flashlight, and to turn it on, you took, like, it could clip onto, like, your backpack, your belt, whatever, but to turn it on, you took it off the clip, which was a magnet, but it made the flashlight, like, I don't know, 2 inches big, so I tried to use it once, and I'm, like, dropping the thing everywhere, so that made me feel stupid, but one of the times my kids was playing with it, and they were just, you know, it's a magnet, so they're having fun. Well, the positive side actually pulled the little teeny tiny screws out of it, and the magnets, like, came out with the flashlight, so it was forever mm-hmm. off. Like, I couldn't fix it. I was oh, that's super. So, yeah, it went to the garbage real fast. But awesome. Once, you know, it was a little knick-knacky thing. I didn't expect it to last forever.
Right. I've never had any distributors or anything out at any of my, like, but I guess my last company did their continuing education stuff in-house, so that
Yeah, you'll be able to go to, like, the Purdue one and stuff now.
Yeah. Lucky. So, I'm excited.
I want to go to that one.
And in September, I'm going to the AAC conference thing, so I'm excited
about
that.
I have a conference in September too. Yeah. Well, I'll finally get to meet Alex Shelby.
Yay, that's what's up.
Right?
That is what's up.
Okay, our next one is from Sue Ann Lehman. Once again, love you, girl. Always giving us the stuff. Yes. This is more office related, but I have been using more AI to help with some tasks that take time to create. As an owner operator with staff, there are never enough hours in the day during the busy season. I always tweak it to be personal from me, but it really saves time with correspondence to clients for their corrective action, social media posts, articles for media, and so much more. Time is money, which I understand AI doing stuff like that. I hate people that think that AI is going to take over our jobs, because it's not.
Right.
It's not. No robot that you're ever going to make is going to go be able to check a bait station or hunt down that rodent or hunt down the roaches. It's just not going to happen.
And I
absolutely
can from academia that the last jobs that would be taken over are the service industry. Like, you're going out, you're doing the work. It's like, that's a pretty good deal.
And yeah. So, that's like, yeah, the trades industry, like plumbers, electricians. Yeah, no. I had to stab a mouse with a stick the other day because I didn't have a knife on me. Let me see a rodent do that. Or a robot, not a rodent. I don't want a rodent to do that.
We get a call. This mouse is out here shanking people. Come get it. Oh, God.
Oh, God. I'd be like, oh, man. Oh, hell. We fighting today.
I retired.
this is my last day. Myself. Goodbye.
Right. Don't know about that. Rick Wilhide told us rechargeable flashlight, minimum of 1,000 lumen, bonus points for a clip that goes onto the bill of the hat. Expanding mechanics mirror for looking under low siding. A Craftsman flathead screwdriver, 1/4 inch wide bit. Recently discovered I hate paper tickets. Call me a millennial, but I need a phone with a good software program to log materials and notes. Fair. I know you said one, but that's my 4-way tie for number one. Also, when it comes to flashlight, I still stand by my Olight arc build being the best choice for pest control. But whenever I decide to replace it, I may go with a different kind if the flat EDC design.
Everyday carry.
Oh, thank you. I was like, what? 1300 lumens is nice, but without it being zoomable, I would like something a little bit brighter for flood lighting.
I completely agree. I loved my arc field. Yes, and I used loved because I cannot find it. That's a bad thing with flashlights is I lose them.
Yeah.
I just got like the new arc field. I think it's like the Baton 3. Mm-hmm. And it does have the clip to go on my bill, which I completely agree with him. Best thing in the freaking world. Because then you don't have to carry a headlamp. You have your normal flashlight that's already in your pocket. You go into a crawl space, clip that bitch on, and then you can, you know, adjust it. You know, I need it pointing over this way a little bit more, or this way, or whatever. It's handier in hell. I love it. And then my original Olight, I snagged that clip one too many times, and it broke right off. Oh. So then I was super pissed.
Right.
You got to explain something to me, though, because I have heard that many a technician does not care that much about organization, and yet I constantly hear about people losing things. So that doesn't make any sense unless people don't care about. So, like, you know, like, how is stuff getting lost all the time? You know, is there not a way to organize things to keep everything in its place, you know?
I think a lot of it comes back to that. Especially if you don't have the time, you just kind of throw shit around.
It's that, yes.
Get everything off me, back into my vehicle, get going. My light is brought into my house a lot of the times, so it's probably in my house somewhere. It also has a green laser light on it that I use to play with the animals, so my kids use it as well. So who the hell know where right. It'll show up again. It's like the 10th time it's been lost. I ran out of other options of my other ones because they, and sometimes they get left in crawl spaces or up in an attic.
I've had it where I had just set it down and I'm about to grab for something, a bait or whatever, and then the client distracts me. Oh, come over here, let me show you whatever. So I grab my service bag and everything else, but I sat down the flashlight And then I go look at what they're whatever, completely forget what I was doing, and then go on the outside or leave or whatever. Yep. Yeah, I've had that happen. I've also had it stolen a few times where, like, I set it down somewhere, walk away, come back, and it's gone. And it's like a commercial account, so I'm looking around like, all right, which one of you mechanics am I fighting?
Because I'll bust you in the knees.
Because I know it didn't just walk away on its own.
Like, who are we fighting? Who's got a new flashlight? Let me see him.
I had a whole service bag with flashlight and everything, and this really cool knife I had, which it was like this one, but red. Wow. It was really cool. But, stolen at a bar that I was servicing because I sat down my service bag, walked away from it. So that's a thing too. Freaking. So yeah, but also if you have a jam packed day and you're just go, it'll happen. And then
it happens.
Yeah. And then you'll be like 20 minutes away at your next stop and realize you left it at the last one and you just don't have time to go back.
Mm-hmm. So then you wait a month to hopefully see that it's still there. We yep. just did that with Brandon's bait station keys. They got left in a crawl space.
Yep.
Went back to it a month later, and they were still sitting there. Luckily that nobody went into the crawl space for whatever reason. Because sometimes that shit happens. You're going, who's in the crawl space and why?
Right. Yes.
Okay, who's next on the list? Oh, Rick. Oh, Brad. Mr. Brad Harvey. Your cheese dad / cheese boss.
Yeah. Cheese boss.
And co-host of TFTC.
Our second favorite podcast.
And the overlord of PCHD, our second favorite group.
Know your place. No, I'm kidding.
All right, he says, of all the tools I've employed in my time in the industry, the one that has been irreplaceable is one that is constantly being improved on. It has made a difference in difficult jobs, making them easier the next time. It is adaptable to infinite tasks, is versatile, and is used year-round. It seems, or it serves as a warning system, alerting me to potential hazards, and is not only a great tool, but it's the most important piece of safety equipment we have on our disposal. It's something that fits all tasks and situations, and the best feature is that it can be shared. In all the years of working in most every position in this industry, the one tool that I'll never be able to live without is my mind. And I'm more than happy to give you a piece of it. Ha ha ha, Mr. Brad.
Ah.
Turd.
I get a piece of his mind every day.
Oh, I'm sure. And I'm sure you just reciprocate it right back.
Yep. Give him that old cheese sass. But
now you give him pretty cheese sass.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Pretty pesty cheese sass. Definitely, I think that's where robots can't take over our job because our brain, you know, we figure it out. Jameson, do you have any other products or anything that is going to be coming out or
It's funny that you ask because, oh my goodness, I brought a pole into my room. Look, I don't know, again, so... For those of you, how many people watch versus listen?
Decent.
I think most listen because we'll listen like while we're working. Sure. So if you can describe it as, you know, as much as you can, obviously.
Sure. Okay. So I'm holding two poles and one of them you can use to take off the lid of an advanced termite station. And the other pole you can detach from it and use... to pull out the cartridges from that station. This is an intermediate prototype. We've improved it a good bit, but you know, it has magnets in it to keep the poles together. And if a dog ever attacks you, it's a great defense weapon. We've heard that one before. And again, made out of strong parts and stainless steel, all that jazz. And because we heard that back pain and knee pain is an issue, and especially if you're checking these stations all the time, you know, you've got 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 that you're looking at a day, it's kind of painful, and that's no good. So we figured that we would try to take a crack at designing a tool to address that problem, and there's actually, so I haven't gotten to mention him yet, but Hector is my co-founder, a good friend of mine, and it's been really fun working with him. Super cool guy. And we went to a meeting yesterday with a pest control company in northern Atlanta, and we got to share with them some of the tools, and they really liked it. Super excited about. We call it the Termite Tool 6000, and we call it something else, but we got a suggestion from one of the PMPs who's been really, really helpful in giving us feedback, and he just kind of texted me that one day and said he thought it would be funny if we named it that, and I was like, hey, we'll name it that. That's hilarious, and so we did, and so we're, you know, going to add a lot more to it, you know, ability to hold cartridges on it and possibly clean the top of the stations because, you know, we know it gets clogged with gravel and mulch and all that stuff. And so, you know, there's a lot of opportunity to build it out. But again, the goal is just make the job easier, make it less painful, make it quicker.
That's awesome. Because cool. That's almost literally, like, before we started, I asked my husband, like, what he would want in like an advancement of a tool, and he literally said for Trilona bait stations a grabber for him, because we don't do them now, but he used to, and he said that the grabbers that they have, they're stupid, they don't work, they cost way too much money. He said he made one with like 10 cents worth of aluminum wire, and it worked perfectly for him, and until it broke or he lost it or whatever he did with it, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But like, perfect.
Absolutely. Yeah, because bending down sucks. Before what I do now, I did commercial and I had to bend down on to 10 cats, 110 cats, and then 100 bait stations. And yeah, bending down is no fun.
Yeah, see, the 10 cat one you can use, you know, and just get that heavy duty magnet, boom. How are you going to do that with an Evo Express weighted station? Nothing you're going to be able to grab or to use to grab it is going to make it any better.
So full circle, Candace, just kick it.
No, I ain't kicking. I have to pay for those damn things. I ain't kicking them open.
Exactly.
That was actually another suggestion that we got in our meeting yesterday. One of the guys said, man, I wish I had a tote for those, you know, rat bait stations because they're a pain to lug around. It's like, how does that not exist already? You know, it's. You'd think, yeah. But
it kind of does. Like, we have a lot of our stuff is the Milwaukee pack out system, where like stuff can stack on top of it. We have like a big tote that's on wheels with an extendable handle. It can't hold a bunch of bait stations, but even if it could, that's going to be super fucking heavy to even pull or push, yeah, or go up a hill with. So it's one of those you kind of have to give and take with it. Like, I can carry 3 to 4 at a time, depending how far I'm going with them. Mm-hmm. Anything more than that, you don't really need to carry that many at a time at mm-hmm. all. Like, it's just going to be a bunch of walking if you can't drive your vehicle to where it has to go. If, like, you have that one parking and you have to go this way and then that way and this way and that way, it's just going to be the walking part of the job. It is what it is. And don't overdo it. Like, carry, like, sometimes I only carry two. I carry, like, one in each hand, with my hand through like the opening for the rodent, and just carry them. Do. Sometimes I stack them 3 high and carry it in both my arms, you know, extended down, and just carry it that way. But if I'm going a long distance, I ain't carrying 3. Screw that. They're too heavy. They wear on your arms, and then you're not going to be able to do anything else because your muscles are busted open.
Yeah.
And this is exactly why it's so important for us to go out and talk to people, because, you know, an engineer might say, well, just use the pack out tote, but that person isn't actually doing the thing. And then there's all these other details that, like, nobody knows about until you actually do it, that you realize, oh wow, that actually has a really big impact on how I design this thing, or even the strategy that I've used to address the problem. So it's, you know, it's just interesting. Like, there's so many more details.
Yeah, like, we've used the pack out tote to lug, you know, I think we had like 4, maybe 5 in it. And it was pretty heavy, but they were going from like a parking lot where we were to like, you know, a half a mile away at an apartment complex. We couldn't park any closer, and we had a bunch of other stuff we had to carry too. That's the only reason we used it, or else it would have been like Brandon carrying 3, me carrying 2, whatever, whatever. And then just, you know, our sling bags, what and whatnot. But we don't use that rolling one super often unless it's a whole lot of stuff we have to bring with us. But then, even then, like, we try not to pack it too heavy, because even the lightest thing, when you start packing a bunch of it together, it gets heavy. Like a box of books. Books themselves are relatively light. You pack a whole box of books, like when you're moving, that shit's impossible to move.
Yes. Facts. Well, we appreciate having somebody who wants to create tools for us to improve our lives. So
yes,
we appreciate it.
Yeah. Because... I mean, that's the fun of, I guess, doing this. And there's, you know, it's not necessarily obvious, especially when you're an engineer, and especially at like a school like Georgia Tech, you know, you're trained very intensely on how to do the thing, but not necessarily on how to care for the people. And mm-hmm. that's okay. It's a technical school. That's what it does. And it does it super well. But entrepreneurship is just different, because you're like, you're not going to succeed if you don't. I mean, well, I guess you can. But for me, at least, it's certainly more fun when you care for the people. And then all the good stuff follows after that, you know, rather than just, oh, I'm going to go after money, or I'm going to go after whatever. It's like, I think, and I've grown into this, it's like, it's the people that make it fun. And I'm personally enriched by that. And then I get to enrich other people with what I've been given. And it's like, oh, this is how relationships should be. Like, I get to, you know, help you, and then you help me, and kind of more soft skill, or even other ways that I can't even think of. That makes it, it's like adventure, you know, and I value a variety and adventure in my life. And so this is kind of like a part of it, going out and to explore your world. And it's very interesting.
Yes, our world is definitely an adventure every damn day.
Yes. And
even doing the exact same jobs over and over, it can be different.
It really is. No day is ever the same. But you're really good at the networking part of it, because after speaking with you and stuff, when I went to go show your products, it wasn't just like, hey, some guy gave me some product and I want to show it. It was my friend Jameson, you know. So that and that's a really big thing in the pest community. Like, Candace and I met virtually, and then we met in person, and now we're just friends for life, you know. So the networking with this is really cool.
Because thanks. I really appreciate that.
Yes. You definitely come off as a friend in that networking way. And that's how you really grow, kind of like how I have this love obsession with Jasmine Pest Pro, just because she's so fun with all her videos and stuff. You know, when you network like that, it's a lot of fun. Just be yourself. Be goofy. Yeah. Be yourself, you know.
And this industry will either love you, or it'll chew you up and spit you the fuck out and not give two craps. Yeah. Like, it really will. And it's not even the industry. It is the techs. Yeah. Like, we will either the love
culture,
you.
Yeah,
the culture. There you go. Yeah. We'll either love you, or we will absolutely despise you. And it's not because you yourself are a bad person. It's how you're portraying yourself.
Yeah,
in that social world.
Like the salespeople that, I'm going to generate you leads. Hello, I'm business so-and-so. Tell me what, you know, and they don't come to me like a friend like you did. So, yeah. But
well, that's another really interesting thing and lesson that I've learned over the summer, is that if I'm going to be attempting entrepreneurship, I need to make money. But the thing is, if you care for people, that will happen, and it'll happen in a way that's genuine. And then you work with people rather than trying to extort. And then there's a lot more that good that happens than just, you know, like making money. But that's not necessarily intuitive. It's like, okay, I need to go out. What's my metric of success? So I need to make money, because then if I run out of money, then I fail. But like, you know, and I've actually talked with a couple other, you know, owner operators and stuff. And you know, one guy is doing his own business in addition, whatever. And he told me that he's like, the reason why I'm successful is because I care for people first. I don't focus on money. I focus on, you know, referrals and stuff. Cause like, oh wow, I didn't realize how much business grows just from like, hey, I have this really cool guy who helps with my pests. You should, you know, talk to him too. But that's a lot of it because it's based on trust. And so it's like, oh, the value of relationships and friendships and being genuine, and the value comes with that in a way that is good and meaningful and deserved rather than just trying to like, you know, grab another dollar.
Yep.
Yes.
That the trust thing is huge, especially for certain treatments when we have to kick you out of your own home. And you're going to have some random person just hanging out, literally having to go room to room. You can't lock a room up away from us. We need to be in all of them. I mean, yeah, you can, you know, all your valuables or whatever, put in your safe or whatever. But if you trust the person that's in there, you're not going to worry about that. And that's literally how me and Brandon have built our business. We'll be 4 years in September. We have not spent a dime on advertising at all.
Yep.
And we've done nothing but grow because he already had trust with a bunch of larger clients from previous companies, but they trusted him, not the company that he worked for. So they came to us and we've only built more from there. I had one of my clients call me today because he is thinking of taking over a property manager or working with one, not 100% sure. I was kind of in and out of service. But he wanted to get them started on a different pest program because they use a different company that she was complaining about. And he's like, hey, I have one. They work at his business. You know, we work at his business. We do his personal home. We do his parents' home. We do a bunch of different businesses that he owns. He trusts us. His parents trust us. Like, I'm literally in a business at night and have access to everything in there. But they know I'm not going to do anything except my job. I mean, I have found random, you know, dollar bills or quarters or whatever and pick them up and stick them on, you know, their table and write them a note. Oh, I found this. Didn't want to spray it. Ha, ha, ha. Whatever, whatever. You know, we do that at people's places, too. We were at a bed bug job, had to flip a chair over, and a $50 bill fell out of it. I mean, a dishonest person would have been like, oh, look, a $50 tip, and pocketed the damn thing.
Oh, look, hey, a flashlight.
Yeah. Look at my flashlight. But no, like, we put it up on their table, and we always, you know, text them when we were done. Hey, we're done. Oh, by the way, we found a $50 bill. It's up on your dining room table. Have a great day. Don't go in until blah, blah, blah time. And he was so excited because it was actually a Christmas gift that his granddaughter had that she had lost, found, and lost again. And she was so upset that she could not find it. And then she was super excited because, well, it was found again, obviously.
That's cute.
But yeah, that trust barrier can easily be broken. So you got to stay on the trust side. Don't think that, oh, just this one time that I take a dollar from, you know, that's sitting crumpled in a corner, that's not okay. It's not worth it.
Right.
That trust that you're going to lose is going to lose you way more than what that dollar was worth, because this dollar ain't worth shit.
Right. It's so important to know your values, because your values determine what you do and how you connect with other people. And, you know, if you don't know your values, then it's like, oh, maybe I'll just do what's convenient or what's easiest. But that isn't necessarily the best for trust and relationships. So
yeah.
A little bit more.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely have to build the trust, show that you know what you're doing, and the money will follow it. That's all it's been for us.
Yep.
Is here's what my price is. I don't, as we call it, we don't negotiate with terrorists. My price is my price. And if you don't like it, go to somebody else. I don't care. But I know my service is solid. And then as you need to think of it, Jameson, you know your product is solid. You know? And then stand behind it. You know, my service didn't work. Fine. I'll come and do it again. I'll fix what I messed up. Your product broke or it failed, or, hey, this really needs to be changed. Own up to it and fix it. You know, however it needs to be fixed, whether it needs to be built stronger or built not so stiff, or, you know, add these extra cool little features onto it, because it'll really be helpful. You know, that's what it's going to be, I think, a lot for you. Minus, you know, getting the ideas for what tools we want. because it's like you said, it's really hard. Some people are really going to like them. Some people are going to be like, this is stupid. Why would I want to spend money on this? But as more people come into this industry, you're going to enjoy that. They might enjoy that new tool instead of the old way.
So Candace, I think we'll skip out on the rest of the stories because the episode's kind of running long. We missed Brandon.
Well, no, I essentially said Brandon's because his was the Treelawna one. And he said his favorite tool is a good strong knife.
Yes. And I want to start doing the blog with this and putting all the pictures and stuff and writing some of them. So
don't overwhelm yourself. It is seasoned. Knock it off.
Fair. Okay.
Okay.
But speaking of, we don't even know what we're doing next week either. So catch us next week. We'll put out the topic. But thank you so much for joining us, Jamison. It's been so much fun.
Yeah.
You were great.
Yeah, thank you. I really
enjoyed it. All right. Well, thank you guys for checking out Pestrogen Podcasts. And what do you usually say?
Be cute, be you, and go out and kick some ass.
Go out and kick some ass. Next week, we are doing The Pest Isn't Your Problem. So it's like when you've been on a job and you realize that they have some other underlying issue other than the pest. So we see that a lot in a lot of the groups. It's like, I was in this crawl space and the customer didn't know they had a water leak or gas leak or whatever. So, yeah.
That pipe that's just drip, drip, dripping, and then they're calling you because I have earwigs, I have springtails, I have this, and I have that. And, well, yes, here's your issue.